And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So glad for you to join us. So glad to be part of your evening or daytime repertoire, depending on where you are listening to us or watching us at. Coming to you live and in living color, high definition, right there, right here on YouTube Live. Actually, that's right, high def. We were able to, and thank you for your support, all of your support. We were able to upgrade certain things here, and we've got now spaceship, real spaceship quality stuff going on over at in Real Tech Eric's Corner. So, you know, he actually's got caution tape around there. I'm not allowed to crime scene tape. I'm not allowed to. You know, before in my other life, I was able to go underneath that, and now I'm not allowed to. Go figure. We've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Boy, I'll tell you something. If you want to, just tell your friends, your family members, everyone you really like and care about tonight's show. We've got a spectacular lineup, and I don't want to take away from them at all, except to say this portion is a nice broadcast brought to you by Sherry's Berries. We want to welcome them as our sponsor, Sherry's Berries. Now, let me tell you something, folks. They have an offer especially for you, the viewers and listeners. So that's right. With Valentine's Day right around the corner, there's only one way to get Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. Actually, this is a special for the Hagman and the Hagman listeners. Just visit Berries. That's BERRIES.com. That's Berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and type in Hagman. That's Berries.com. And use my code, Hagman. Help support our show by supporting our sponsors. Berries.com, our code Hagman. And there you will be treated to freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries. Oh, folks, just check this out.
Okay. I tried one yesterday.
Oh, yeah, man. Check this out.
Great.
Check this out. You think, I mean, look, we practice what we preach. We eat what we talk about. Oh, is this good? Sherry's Berries. All right, folks. Anyway, for those on Global Star Radio, they haven't quite invented scratch and sniff on your radio, but, man, they just smell good, the chocolate and the strawberries, that fresh fruit. Oh, it's good. Anyway, sherrysberries.com. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you.
We have a great show lined up for you tonight. Just to give you an idea of what's going on, we have Chad from Insurgency Broadcast in this hour. We're going to get into a number of things, domestic and political issues. Then in hour two, we have Clint Hill and Lisa McCubbin. Now, Clint and Lisa have co-authored a book.
Actually, Clint, three books,
yeah,
but yeah.
And Clint was one of the Secret Service men who was present at the Kennedy assassination. He was detailed to protect Mrs. Kennedy. So we're going to talk to them not only about that day in Dealey Plaza, but also of the different administrations that he was a part of and some of the important aspects of those administrations. And then in hour three, Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes will be joining us, and we're going to continue to talk about the domestic and political issues that are going on in our country.
Specifically the lawfare, Joe.
Yeah, he's going to get into that. But we're going to kind of overlap on some topics with Chad as well as with Stuart, starting with the UC Berkeley riots and other protests that have been happening around the country, this anti-Trump movement, this pro-violence, anti-freedom movement. Seems to continue to intensify.
There's a lot of avenues to this.
Great guy. Yeah. And if you go on YouTube, search Insurgency Broadcast, and then subscribe to Chad's YouTube channel to get all of his latest reports and investigative findings. Chad, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Well, you know, we're happy to have you. And you're kind of an internet legend or becoming one. Well, I think you are. Insurgency Broadcast Network on YouTube, and you've got so many great. I mean, you've got your finger on the pulse of current events and things that are taking place. Let's get right into this. Let's dig right into this.
Let's do it.
We're seeing. What are we seeing? civil war in America, right?
You know, what I really think we're seeing is we're seeing that the violent left has become the mainstream. I think the Obama administration has elevated the violent leftists in, throughout his administration, throughout his eight-year term. He never said anything. Anytime anything ever happened, whether it was the Black Lives Matter protest, he always sided with the violent leftists. And now you're seeing, you know, the worms burst out of the can. You're seeing it become mainstream, and it's becoming mainstream because senators and Congress, congressmen in the House, are they condemning these riots?
No.
Are they condemning this uprising? They're still under the perception that Trump supporters are the violent ones. When these leftists, every time they go out on the street, something has to get burned down. Something. So no, absolutely. I believe we're leading in to an era where it's going to be difficult for Americans all across the board. I don't think, you know, as far as Trump supporters go, we don't hit the streets and protest like these people do. Because we have time, we have lives. We don't have time to grab our signs and hit the streets every time something happens in this country. So we protest at the ballot box. We protest at the ballot box. But if we do hit the street, I mean, there is going to be a big, big, big problem, you know, and...
Well, do you think that there's going to be a blowback to this? See, here's how I look at it. The people, and you're right, we have jobs, we have responsibilities, we've got families, we pay our bills, we've got so much to do. Right. We don't have time to go out there and throw rocks and, put graffiti on buildings. So having said that, there will come, in my belief, and this goes back to 2013, 2012, 2013, when, or even before that, when my DHS source had told me, look, you don't understand what's going on, telling me, you better get ready for some ugly, because ugly is coming down the road. And at that time, I understood that to be, you know, Obama's reelection. But, he said, look, plans, or the timing changes, the plans don't, the objectives don't. So what we're seeing now, I believe, is what he was talking about. So, okay, so let's kind of take a step back here and look at this. Rather than look at this in the full aspect of things, last night, UC, Berkeley, the crap hit the fan. Where were the cops? Who was behind this protest? How did it get so organized so quickly? I got questions, you know, ton of questions, but
the police there, they want to do the job. They're so used to not being allowed to do their job that they're so timid about it. I think, though, after time during Trump's presidency, that will change. I mean, right now, we still have the same people technically in the Justice Department. We still have these same heads all over the place in these agencies, and they already sent out the message to the local police departments to say, no, don't protect the neighborhood, let them build down. If you remember in Baltimore, no, just give them room to destroy, give them room to burn everything down. Was there an order to the police from somebody in Berkeley saying, just stand down, give them room, give the snowflakes room to destroy? You know, God forbid, because these college campuses have been becoming more leftist as time has gone by. I mean, if you look at the past, these teachers are violent leftists, and they are raising a generation of snowflakes, and that's why we're in the problem that we see today. As far, again, as law enforcement, they need to push back. They need to push back. Trump is going to have their back. Trump's going to have their back. One Senator Sessions gets in the Justice Department, and he pulls back all these orders of the federal, the feds taking over local police departments, and that worry of, oh my God, if I do anything, you know, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to get fired. I think right now there's trauma in a lot of cops' minds saying, if I do anything, it's going to be the same thing like when during the Obama administration, I'm going to be either fired, suspended, or thrown in jail just for doing my job. So they might still be under that impression, but if a order was given out to the police to stand down, I mean, that has to stop. And I think Trump did send out the right message to UC Berkeley Stop funding them. Stop funding these violent leftist campuses. They're not doing anything. They're not teaching kids. They're not teaching these people. The only thing they're teaching is that free speech is not free speech. And if you disagree, don't debate. Just burn it down. Burn it down. So, I mean, hopefully that no order was given to the police to stand down.
Well, I read that there was.
Yeah.
And the speculation that I heard came from the mayor, and I heard also that an investigation was being launched against the mayor. There are some pictures floating around. Haven't verified them that they were actually from Berkeley yesterday, but it definitely made a few of these pictures made their way around on different internet forums and social media, that there was about 30 cops with riot gear inside of a building at Berkeley waiting for who knows what, and from what people are speculating that they were told to stand down. I mean, what other excuse would there be for, you know, riots to start taking place, violence, people being beaten with sticks and pepper sprayed while they're giving interviews, fires are being started for over an hour and no police to respond. That tells me it's an overt action that they intentionally, you know, did not go. Right. I'm sure they got a lot of calls.
I'm sure they did too. I'm sure they did. I mean, it's just the same thing though, that we see over and over and over again, that they're allowed to do whatever they want. They're allowed to go. I mean, there was a body laying on the floor, not moving, a still body. You know, when I was looking at the coverage of it, I thought this person could have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
These violent leftists, they run past him, then they turn around and they start kicking him.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like a lifeless body on the ground. And you're absolutely right. I mean, they're getting these stand down orders from, you know, in California, of course. I mean, what would you expect? They're allowed to do whatever they want. They're allowed to do whatever they want. But these police forces and these mayors who are given the stand down order, I mean, there has to be some kind of repercussion.
I agree. Yeah.
Has to be some kind of repercussion. What can Trump do as far as getting involved in, you know, the state? I mean, that's a tricky thing. I mean, do you want the Fed? We really don't want the feds to be involved in local police departments. I mean, that's the whole thing. Obama started that. You know, we don't want the feds to be involved. But if it comes to a point where patriotic Americans just can't go and listen to somebody speak, or can't just discuss their point of view without getting their head bashed in, then so be it. Then so be it. It needs to be done. I mean, the feds need to come in. It needs to be done.
You know, I look at it this way. I'm trying to picture this under Obama. For example, would I be comfortable with any like federal action under Obama? And then apply to Trump, because I want to be consistent in my thinking. I want to be a constitutionalist. I want to respect the Constitution, and that kind of guides my thinking. So, if there's any question, let's go to the Constitution. That's our rule book. That's our manual. Bang, we have to follow that. And then I'm looking, trying to see what Trump is doing as well, and all of this. So, you know, I'm going to be very consistent with this, because if Donald Trump does something that is anti-constitution or outside of the Constitution, I would expect that us and others would call him on that as well, as we would with Barack Hussein Obama or anyone in that position. Now, that said, I believe, and going back to your original earlier, look, I think that the seeds to what we're seeing here were planted by Obama, the Alinskyites, and everyone behind this. And by the way, we're talking with Chad. He's the head of something called the Insurgency Broadcast Network on YouTube. Subscribe to this channel. I mean, in Insurgency Broadcast Media, it is fantastic. His YouTube videos are 100%. But, and this, these are videos we watch.
Go yeah. And back to the Berkeley situation, there was a tweet by the mayor who said the following: using speech to silence marginalized communities and promote bigotry is unacceptable. Hate speech is not welcome in our community. And then there was other tweets that fall along that thread, but as you said, the Congress men and women, senators, to people inside the government, to people in positions of power in the private sector, are applauding, cheering this stuff. Nothing condemning the violence. One congresswoman from Florida called the riots yesterday a beautiful sight or a beautiful thing. They are in the media, and even the former president is encouraging these things. encouraging the protests at the airport, encouraging, you know, people to, under the guise of stopping, you know, what they claim is hate speech. And it's just, it's sickening. But hopefully there will be an investigation. There's rumors around that there is an investigation into the mayor for giving a stand down order. Not confirmed yet. Let's continue talking about this instance and this climate, this political hostility that we're in, to where even when you're walking down the street wearing a Trump sign in some cities, you're not safe, or wearing a Trump hat or T-shirt or showing support for him in any way, including interviews on TV. There's a few trains of thought. Some think that Trump is watching this and, you know, gathering evidence and doing things with the executive orders, like using the Obama and Clinton recommendations on, you know, the seven states that they put the temporary ban on, Muslim countries, that Trump's giving these people enough rope to show themselves for who they really are, and then, you know, he'll turn it around and find a way to fix it, and also show the hypocrisy of and the irony that's in the left, and this new radical left. And others are saying that he has taken a back seat and not done his job when dealing with these protests. People are calling from anything from you know, National Guard to come in, to, you know, they send the police into crackheads to you know, stop these people from not protesting, but from the violence that their protest brings. If you had to put it in the way you're thinking, what do you think is going on at the you know, at the White House when they're dealing with these or looking at these problems?
Well, right now, honestly, I think they don't. You know, Trump doesn't have his team together. He doesn't have his team together. He's not settled in yet. These riots are occurring. I think Trump deeply does want it to stop. I don't think he would have tweeted about UC Berkeley in particular if he didn't want it to stop. He would have just did what Obama did and just wash his hands with it. You know, because Obama, he was a great orator. He was a great orator. He could have united people. He could have united and brought people together. He never did. He never did, because he wants this kind of thing to happen. With Trump, at least he's sending the message out that this is not going to go down anymore. And if you do this kind of thing, we're going to defund you. You're not going to receive federal funds. Why should they? Personally, I think Trump has to directly talk to you know, local municipalities. He needs to talk to states that are just allowing this to happen, to mayors, to governors, and get this in order. You know, he's a great deal maker. He can set the stage for this. If they don't do it, he's going to do something about it. Whatever, you know, I think.
I agree.
Given time, when his team gets into place, when Sessions is set up in the Justice Department, I think Trump has the ability to discuss with these governors and mayors that if you're going to keep doing this, we're going to have a big problem. And maybe, you know, I still have my doubts, because they are so anti-American to me. California itself is anti-American to me.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
The way they're running the state and letting things to happen, I don't think they're going to, you know, I think they're still going to want to do it. I think they want it to be done. I think this has been going on for a long time. I think these local mayors and people in Washington, leftists in Washington, want this to happen. I think that they would rather see America collapse than for Trump to succeed. And if these violent protests, if people gotta die, you know, that they even, like all these leftists say, if people gotta die, then so be it. I think they are so off the meter that they're willing to risk everything. They're willing to let people get killed. They're willing to let their neighborhoods get burnt down. Anytime you have people who are mayors saying, let's give them room to destroy, here you go, you know, then there is something mentally disabled with these people. Letting it happen, giving them room to destroy, I think they would rather see their whole city and town and state burnt down before they give in to Trump. And that's unfortunate, and that's the scary thing. What does that lead to? That's going to lead to more violence. That's going to lead to, unfortunately, maybe, God forbid, a civil war in this country.
And there it is. I think that they're pining for a civil war at whatever cost. And I think you're exactly 100% correct in your assessment. Now, so looking at the bigger picture, we know we've got the Alinskyite kind of, the Alinsky, Saul Alinsky agenda. And people are, sloughing this off as if, well, no, you know, this, it's not that organized. The hell it's not, man. What we're seeing here, to me, is a very well-organized, well-oiled, well-funded machine. For example, yesterday, you saw the Milo was supposed to speak, and, of course, the protests that originated there, that there were some, shall we say, minor protests. But all of a sudden, you see this black block. Now, black block is a tactic, but it also represents a group of individuals come in, and that's when the destruction began. That's when the burning began. That's when all of so my question is, specifically, and I'll ask you this because I know you're a great researcher, you're a great independent investigative journalist, you're very effective in getting your message across. Who is behind this? Who is behind all of this? From the outermost to the innermost, who is behind this?
You know, I think globalist Republicans and George Soros finally had something to come together for. Finally, I think these shadow donors in the background funding these groups, especially George Soros, is mainly responsible. These protesters are bought and paid for. I mean, they show up every time Trump does anything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unless they go to sleep with their protest clothes and their signs and pop up some kind of time portal, everything is pre-organized, ready to go. When Trump signed the travel ban, executive order, right when he did that, and this George Soros just hit that button because news sites, applications, websites had all these advertisements up ready to go. And the second after he signed this executive order saying Trump slams door on refugees, donate now. There is absolutely, you call it a conspiracy or whatever, but it's not a conspiracy to me because they've been trying to do this and they are funding these opposition groups.
That's right.
You know, Open Society Foundation are funding a lot of these people. They're trying to start a revolution in this country, just like, you know, George Soros started a revolution in Ukraine with the Orange Revolution, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And now, what are they doing here in America? They're using, look at the Women's March, pink everywhere. You know, they're trying to start, I think he picked pink as the color of the revolution in America, but that's suitable for these snowflakes, right? But I think they want to start a revolution. He's doing the same old game that he did in Ukraine and that a little bit that was done during the Arab Spring, the same old game. I think George Soros absolutely is funding it, but now he has the status quo Republicans, these globalist Republicans, like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, the donors behind them, the Koch brothers now,
yep.
So anti-Trump, it's unbelievable. That they have, you know, partners across the aisle. If you want to call them Republicans, to me, you know, Koch brothers, John McCain, all these globalist Republicans are the same as the Democrat establishment. It's just one party. And I think they are working together to undermine Trump, finance the opposition groups, overthrow Trump. If they can't impeach him, God forbid, with all these violent protests, they're going to try to kill him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that, yeah, I do believe that I believe that his life is certainly in jeopardy. You got Madonna saying, let's bomb the White House, or I've thought about it. You've got, who is that, that idiot, comedian, director, movie star, Judd
Apatow.
Yeah, that guy. I mean, it's amazing. And then to see the Kill Trump, graffiti at UC Berkeley. I mean, this is the tolerant left or the all-inclusive left? What the heck?
They've lost all credibility in that area.
Yeah.
With tolerance, I can't stand it. They run around, first of all, they're on Twitter saying, oh, I wish somebody would assassinate Trump, # say no to hate. Yeah, really? Really? That makes a lot of sense.
Or
they have their love Trump's hate sign while they're bashing you on the head with a bat.
Yeah.
I mean, these people have lost their minds. We live in an alternate reality. For some reason, they honestly believe. I mean, I don't think it's just, I think they honestly believe that words are worse than physical violence to these people. They honestly believe it. I mean, because I always get responses saying, yeah, but Trump's doing the same thing. What do you mean he's doing the same thing? Are we out on the street beating people up, burning down neighborhoods? Absolutely not. But for these, the way they were taught, generation after generation, the way they were taught is that free speech is more violent than physical violence.
Mm. You know, Chad, you've done some great work here, by the way. The Pink Revolution, a plot to overthrow Trump, that was just posted, I think, yesterday. Folks, go to Chad's YouTube page, and that is Insurgency Broadcast Network. Subscribe. We all need to stick together in these times. Chad is on the cutting edge, on the front end of the investigative research of citizen journalists, and we have to applaud him, not just applaud him, but also to back him and welcome him to the family, our family of investigative journalists, and thank him for being part of this new media, this independent media. Chad, I'm sorry, I don't want to take too much of your time, but we're approaching a break here at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we would like to get your take on just a number of other things that we're facing as well, domestically, because you've done a lot of great work here. Whether it be, well, Joe, I mean, you and I spoke before the show specifically about Trump, about the unrest, the civil unrest.
Yeah, we're going to continue to talk about the civil unrest, the anti-Trump agenda.
Yeah.
Something that Chad wanted to also talk about was the leaks coming out of the White House.
That's it.
Dealing with Trump as well as policy challenges Trump will be facing. So when we come back, we're going to continue our interview with Chad from Insurgency Broadcast. Go to Insurgency Broadcast on YouTube and subscribe to his channel. We'll be right back with Chad B. from Insurgency Broadcast right after this. Stay with us.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. So glad to have you tuning in to our broadcast tonight. Those people watching on YouTube, thank you so very much, and thank you for your belief and trust in us. And please subscribe to our YouTube channel, okay? Just go to the HagmanandHagman.com. That's our show webpage, or HagmanReport.com. That's for show prep and articles. But from there, you can connect to our official YouTube page. Subscribe. That raises our visibility. And also subscribe to our guest tonight, Insurgency Broadcasting Network, Chad, there. Subscribe to his as well. He's done some great investigative work, on his own. And, he's something. He's somebody that we watch. His videos we do watch. Now, folks, look, Valentine's Day is not too far away. And if you've got that special someone in your life, your wife, your mother, your daughter, whatever, somebody that really is special to you, I've got this treat for you. Sherry's Berries. And I'm sure everyone, if you've been on the planet, you know about Sherry's Berries. And just to tell you that this is, we do practice what we preach. We do buy what we endorse or buy what we talk about. And we do like what we endorse. Certainly Sherry's Berries is one of them. I just want to open this box real quick here because, oh, hey, hang on. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see this. If you're watching, or if you're not, if you're just listening to this, too bad for you. But the most decadent fresh strawberries, chocolate-covered strawberries. I mean, check that out. High def. I'm sure you can get this on high def. Oh, they're fabulous. They're fresh. They come in just in this wonderful box, and they're just decadent. Okay, one more. You want to see another one? This is their chocolate nut covered, or chocolate covered one. This is my wife's favorite here. She likes this one. And I'm not sure if the contrast, if you can see that, but what a fantastic fresh strawberry, folks. That's Sherry's Berries. And we've got an offer for you, for the listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report, just for you. We've got an offer for you. And by the way, this comes in a very nicely tied box for that loved one, but a special offer for all of the listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Go to berries.com. That's berries.com. berries.com. That's right. Berries.com. And click on the microphone box in the top right hand corner and type in Hagman. H-A-G-M-A-N-N. And here's what will happen. You will get the offer is this. The freshest of the fresh, freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99 plus shipping. But you can, and here's what we did. Double the berries for just $10 more, okay, by using our word or code word Hagman. These berries are decadent. They're fresh. They're sweet. They're irresistible. You can choose berries dipped in tempting white milk, dark chocolate goodness. They're topped with chocolate chips, decorative swizzles, and chopped nuts. Folks, guys, surprise her at the office, the workplace. Her coworkers are sure to be just a little bit jealous, and she will be absolutely overjoyed. Sherry's Berries will deliver your gift fresh and on time, guaranteed, or your money back. This is what we use for clients, but most importantly, this is what we use for our wives and daughters and special, those people special in our lives. And let me tell you something. My wife got this box of Sherry's Berries, and she... Well, I think it took like 15 seconds, and there was like two gone. Bam! Right,
I gotta tell you, I had one after the show last night, and it's a good thing I ate it when I was not around the box with the rest of them in there, because it was so good. I did want more. I had the white and dark chocolate mix. on top of the strawberry, and that was delicious.
But seriously, everyone I know, they're talking about Sherry's Berries and about what a great gift this is for Valentine's Day. So, folks, one more time, go to berries.com. That's B-E-R-R-I-E-S, okay, berries.com, and enter in the microphone box Hagman for that very special offer. Berries.com, Hagman in the microphone box. Okay, Chad from Insurgency Broadcast Network, let's get into a couple of things. We got leaks coming out of the White House, apparently, at least coming from somewhere, and we've got this war on guys and women in the alternative, or shall I say the new independent media. What do you want to tackle first? Which subject?
You know, as far as the leaks, since you brought that up, now, this is disturbing because right when he's beginning, he starts talking with leaders, talking world leaders, and all of a sudden, the transcripts are being leaked. Now, where are they being leaked from? And it's only meant to do one thing. It's meant to undermine Donald Trump and give the perception to America that Donald Trump is crazy and doesn't know what he's doing, right? Some of the leaks that came out saying how Trump's going to send in troops into Mexico. And then you talk to the Mexican president, he's like, no, that was never said. But the media doesn't believe that. The media doesn't believe that because they know more than the two people who are actually on the call, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, Trump did say that, and already Mexico, obviously they're not agreeing on much. Does Mexico want to build a wall on the border? Of course they don't. So if they have an opportunity to make Trump look bad, I don't think they would, without a doubt, without hesitation, do that. So they deny that ever happened. But what the real issue is, who's leaking it? How are they getting these transcripts? Now, you have a hostile media who will do anything, will pay anything, whether they're getting it from foreign leaders or paying somebody through from the White House to get these transcripts. They'll do anything to get their hands on it. They won't tell you the source, and then they'll just report it in their own way. But it's only meant to do one thing, and that's to undermine Trump, to make it look to the people that he's crazy, he doesn't know what he's doing, and it has nothing to do with policy. If you actually look at what they were talking about, Trump's actually fighting for the American people, like with the call to Australia, with the president of Australia. I'm sorry, I forgot his name, but they say Trump didn't want to take in the refugees that Obama agreed. Australia doesn't even want why don't they want the refugees? They don't want them, so they're going to give them to us. And Obama's such a layover. He was just like, oh, okay. Yeah, sure, bring them on in. And Trump said it was the worst deal ever. The worst deal ever. And you know what? And I agree with him 100%. But, again, that's something to worry about. Obviously, media is going to go through anything, pay anything, do anything, just to hurt Donald Trump. They're not here to report. They're here to hurt Donald Trump. And whoever's doing the leak, if it's coming from the Trump White House, he needs to get on top of that immediately.
I agree.
A good question to follow up with this is, I forget who said this on our show, but what is going to happen? What's the media's and this extreme left reaction going to be when Trump actually does something that would make them mad? Instead of this fake outrage that we see at everything he's doing, I guess the temporary immigration ban would be a good example, except for the fact that it is a temporary ban, and as you said, the media is reporting what they're told, is not reporting the truth. They do everything in their power not to report the truth. They're putting their own spin on it. But what if there is something Trump does in the near future that, really provokes outrage from the left? Real outrage, I guess. Because a lot of this is provocateurs right now.
No, absolutely, I agree. But, God forbid we go to war with another country. Because our mainstream media will be embedded with the enemy's military brigades, reporting from the front lines, Trump's, they're going to side with the enemy. That's how I would see it. God forbid we do ever get in a war. That's a dangerous situation when you don't have even a bit of patriotism coming from the left or the media. That you're right. If something does happen, or if we get into a conflict with another nation, they're going to back up the other nation just because Trump. And that's something we should all be really worried about. But at the end of the day, I think after a couple years, We're going to see how the media is going to start to react, because we could get into a big war. Because these globalists want a war. These globalists want a war, and they are embedded in countries who are going to try to pull us into a war. Iran, for instance, they were just launching ballistic missiles just a couple days ago. And they're doing it to threaten Trump. But Trump isn't Obama. Again, if Trump puts a red line, he's not going to do what Obama did and back away from that red line. And, you know, I think the media will absolutely be on the enemy side, and I think the leftists will begin their impeachment of Trump if he does any conflict with another nation, at least try to.
Chet, let me get your opinion on this, because I've been following your channel for a while. Did you think Obama or the Obama regime believed in their wildest imagination that Trump would actually win the Oval Office? The reason I'm asking you this, and I'll just give you a heads up on this, and you can take it from here. But here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that he believed that Hillary would win, and then carry on, of course, his agenda. When Trump got in, obviously, all of the things that Obama had done to sell out this country. No. I mean, Trump had to put a stop to it, whether it be the influx of immigrants, illegals into this country, or the bad deals, all of the bad deals. And we're seeing this cultural whiplash, as Cho had termed it. But so did you think that Trump or do you think that Obama had expected Trump to come in?
I think he knew Trump was going to win.
Oh, really?
I think he knew it. I mean, I think that he knew he was going to win. That's why he was campaigning harder than Hillary. You know, Hillary Clinton was at home drinking with Uma Abedin. She had Obama going around campaigning harder than even campaigning his own, and going against Romney. I think he knew it was happening. He might have not wanted to admit it, but have you ever seen a sitting president campaign harder than the actual Democrat nominee or the nominee of a president? I mean, actually, with George Bush.
Yeah,
I didn't see George Bush campaigning for McCain whatsoever. I know the poll numbers were low, but I think Obama went above and beyond than any regular president should go. Because I thought thought Trump was going to win.
Very interesting, and I kind of set you up on that because I noticed in your earlier videos, and I agree with you on that. Obama's over the top campaigning. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and I saw a story this week that said members of Hillary Clinton's campaign were blaming Obama for their loss.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he didn't do enough, I think was the excuse. But we saw how hard he campaigned, telling illegal immigrants it's okay to vote, you're not going to be tracked down if you do. And I mean, just there was a number of different things that he had done, and the way he denounced Trump and says, he's not going to be in this White House. He did go above and beyond what other presidents do. While we're still talking about this anti-Trump climate, both in the population and in the media and in the government, one question I want to make sure we hit: are we watching? There's a lot of sayings out there. First they laugh at you, then they mock you, then you win. We see that the Democrats or this extreme left can't use facts to win their argument because they don't stand by anything. We see that they have no recourse politically anymore, just by their actions, regardless of its provocateurs or protesters or the media. Are they self-destructing, or are we seeing more of an organized, this is going to continue to be a problem during the Trump administration? Or do you think this will be something that fizzles out in 6 months?
Well, the way I see it is the Democrat Party is in its lowest ranking since, I believe, the 1920s or 1930s, as far as holding office locally, statewide, and nationally. They're at the lowest they've ever been. I think they have no other option besides letting the violent left just take over. Because mainstream Democrats, old school Democrats, I should say, have been leaving the Democrat Party. This leaves a bad taste in their mouth, seeing what's happening. I think right now the only voice in the Democrat Party is the violent left. I don't see them doing any. I don't see them condemning the violent leftists. I don't see them trying to bring back Democrats who've left, like the labor union. I mean, you do have senators in Michigan, like Senator Manchin, who, you know, wants to work with Trump, probably going to be one of the only senators there who does work with him. That's because he knows what's going on. The white working class has left the Democrat Party. Blue-collar workers, the labor unions, have left the Democrat Party. And that's due to a bunch of things. That's due to economic reasons, such as NAFTA, such as TPP that Obama was trying to push, and thank God that that Trump pulled us out of that mess. I think it also has to do with the fact that they don't have any more facts. They just have feelings and emotions. They let Hollywood and leftists really be the prime voice in the country. You let one of their top nominees, Bernie Sanders, is a socialist, want this country to be like Denmark for some reason. Yeah. And they don't have any voices out there who has their own mind. Who I do like, to be honest with you, is Tulsi Gabbard. If you're familiar with this congresswoman, she's the only one who actually stands up to the party. She's a congresswoman from Hawaii. She actually went and sat down with Bashar al-Assad in Syria, the behest of the Democrat Party. They were, you know, they weren't happy about that.
Right.
And she did have a meeting with Donald Trump for, you know, I believe some kind of meeting or interview. So she's not, you know, playing ball with the Democrats too much. So there might be some voices there. But, you know, I think they're just going to keep rolling down this hill. They're not speaking out against the violent leftists. They're going to become more violent. I think we're finally seeing the full transition into socialist communists for the Democratic Party. They're anti-American. They burn too many flags to raise the American flag. Oh, they become all of a sudden so patriotic, right? When Trump becomes president, all of a sudden you see Keith Olbermann wrapping himself in the American flag.
Yeah.
on some GQ cover. They're so, you know, they've cried wolf too many times, and you know, we all know that the violent left, especially a lot of the young people, hate this country from its founding. Mm-hmm. Want to see it destroyed. They believe it's racist from its founding. They want to make sure that the white working class, and it's not even about race. You know, when I was growing up, I never saw anything in classes of race like this. It was just common sense to me. I didn't see it that way. But since they've created this identity politics to win elections because of their assumptions of the demographics in this country, they lost their minds. They said, okay, you know what? We don't need policy. We need demographics, and that's it. Nancy Pelosi, she was on Capitol Hill doing her a protest with Chuck Schumer regarding Trump's travel ban, and she brought on this congressman who wanted to speak to the crowd. The mic wasn't working. That was funny how Trump pointed that out. The mic wasn't working, but I think once they did get it to work, Nancy Pelosi was just whispering in his ear, tell him you're Muslim. Just tell them you're Muslim. Forget any proper message. Just let them know you're Muslim so they know the Muslims are on our side. It's all identity politics, race politics, gender politics.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because there are a lot of people, even in the independent media, who refuse who don't want to deal with that identity politics narrative. It's interesting to see the sides forming and the narratives being massaged. I'm glad you brought that up, and you're right. Yeah, just tell them you're Muslim. Just, oh, my word. Well, okay, with the politics in D.C. inside the Beltway, got to ask you about this. We're seeing appointments being made in the Democrats, AWOL in these, from the Senate Finance, the Senate mm-hmm. Judiciary meetings. What's up with that? I mean, aside from the obvious, my question is, what's up with that?
They feel like if they associate with any cabinet members, that Trump's putting up, they're gonna get, you know, hit by the violent left.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe that they won't even sit down with Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court nominee, for Trump, Chuck Schumer, and I believe Pelosi. They're not even going to meet with him. All right, because God forbid they get millions and millions of death threats in the mail from their own party. If they don't stand up to their own party, if they don't stand up to these people, then that's it. It's going to collapse. Their party's transforming. I feel like they're already done. It's in shambles.
Yeah.
But if Chuck Schumer wants to keep his gravy train going and the establishment going in the Democrat Party, he's going to have to stand up to these violent leftists who are, you know, they don't really care about the establishment too much. They just want to go full-on socialist. And whoever can do it and get it done, that's fine. They've taken over. I mean, I believe the Democrat establishment is more willing to work with Trump than the violent Democrat minority that's right now making themselves the majority in the Democrat Party. But they don't have the spine to stand up to them, and they want to keep their gravy train going, and they're the ones funding them. That's how they get their things done. They have to rile their party up. They have to get them so angry. And then, like I said, right when they did the travel ban, they put up all these ads, donate now, give us more of your college money, we'll impeach Trump, and then we'll make college free. That's not going to happen. They don't have any platform that makes any common sense to any average Americans, and that's why they keep losing and losing. But they have to keep losing. It can't just be that Trump won, because Russia, right? It was Russia's fault. So they have to lose in 2 years, in 2018. They have to lose again. They have to keep losing to get the message. And by that time, are they going to get their act together? You know, I don't have any more confidence or hope for that party, honestly. Honestly.
But it's not even, I understand the partisan angle of this, but I think, or would you agree that we've gone from the two-party system of politics now to just basically a uniparty that is of the globalists? I don't want to make such broad sweeping statements, but yet I am. But we've got the globalists, and then we've got the people who are attempting to do right by the Constitution of the United States. Sure. I don't even know what to call that dynamic other than that.
Yeah, I mean, open borders, unlimited immigration, the destruction of the nation state looks like where the Democrat Party wants to go. You're right, not just the Democrat Party. Obviously, the establishment of the Republican Party. And the establishment of the Democrat Party, they're the same party. They are the globalist party. The Never Trump movement basically was doing the same thing that the Democrats were doing. Right now, a lot of them are just holding their nose when it comes to Trump. But give it some time. And once Trump really starts getting, especially foreign policy-wise, because these globalists, how do they achieve their goals? By completing their agenda globally. Now, in that case, you have to worry about John McCain. You have to worry about Lindsey Graham. They're trying to corner Trump on foreign policy to make sure that they continue that New World Order globalist agenda. And they'll work with the Democrats to get it done. And right now, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It is a one-party system with just a couple blocks in the Republican Party, not at all in the Democrat, who actually want America first, who actually care about this country, and not about the New World Order that was created after World War II, basically.
You know, we have about 3 minutes left or so, and before we are at the top of the hour break, you talked about the policy challenge Trump faces. You talked about him not having his cabinet together. Steve Bannon, I've been hearing a lot about him lately. Many people, the rhetoric from the news and from the left is that he's, some KKK leader, white nationalist or whatever. But that's all unfounded and just, rhetoric. But some say he has an authoritarian complex. And I'm not too familiar with him. What do you think?
You know, I wasn't familiar with Steve Bannon, took over Trump's campaign. What I've heard of him and what I've read about him, I don't see him as a white nationalist like they're talking about.
Right.
He's a patriotic, America first, businessman who knows that the media, what they're trying to do, who knows about the manipulation in this country. And Trump did the right thing to bring him close to his side, because Bannon, he doesn't affiliate as far as with these establishment folks. Doesn't affiliate with them all. He can't stand the establishment. He can't stand the media, and he's been fighting against it. And he's good at it. he helped Trump win the White House.
I agree.
And everybody was so shocked that, oh my God, he's bringing him into the Oval Office. What do you think he's going to do? So I really think that Steve Bannon is a very good, effective strategist to have on Trump's side.
Now let me ask you this. Do you think what Trump has put forward in executive orders and announced how he's going to do different things, do you think that those are his ideas, or do you think they're brainstorming from Kellyanne Conway to Bannon and to the people that he surrounds himself with?
Well, I think he is brainstorming with Steve Bannon and so on, but before Steve Bannon took over his campaign, Trump was speaking about these things.
Yep.
You know, before Bannon became the campaign manager, he was speaking about these things. You actually go back, I mean, Trump's been saying the same thing in the 70s and 80s. He's been talking about the same issues. Trump is his own man. You can't really teach an old dog new tricks, especially somebody like Trump. I think Trump has strong opinions, but I think he's going to take advice from the right people. From the right people. And that's what they hate. They want Trump to take advice from the idiots who've been ruining this country. And since Trump doesn't do that, oh my God, he's a chaotic, he's deranged. I think Trump is his own man. He's going to make his own decisions. I think Steve Bannon is the right person to have next to him to basically structure those decisions for him. Absolutely.
We only have about a minute left. Sean Spicer, the press secretary, is that a good fit in your mind? A lot of people say they not like him. Okay.
I don't think he is. I think he's giving the press too much leverage. I think, you know, I was watching it. He's letting him ask question after question after question. I think he's a little bit too, the image of him, I think he's too antsy. Like, he's a little bit too antsy. I think somebody a little bit more calm, willing to show. He's not that bad. Don't get me wrong, but there's something about him when he speaks. He's too just nitpicky. I don't really think he's a good fit for press secretary. Honestly, I thought he could have done better. I like Laura Ingraham. I like some of the outside of the establishment folks that he could have brought in to be press secretary. But he's not doing that bad of a job. If he gets better, then I'll support him.
All right. Thank you, Chad B., Insurgency Broadcasting Network on YouTube. Follow him. Subscribe to his channel, folks. This guy's got his finger on the pulse of what is happening in the multiverse of social media. Chad, thank you so much for appearing on our program tonight.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
You come back, okay? Because we have a lot more to talk about. You come back sometime.
Oh, you got it.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be right back after this with Clint Hill and Lisa McCubbin. They are the co-authors of a number of books dealing with the five presidential administrations that Mr. Hill was a Secret Service member on. We'll be right back.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks and Pro Flowers and Casper Mattress and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can, it's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.